Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Senior Superlatives. I'm so excited for you to listen to my episode with River. I just wanted to give a brief sensitivity warning as this episode does contain discussions of drug use and depression. So if you're comfortable with that, please enjoy the episode. Have a great week.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, if you wanted honesty, that's all you had to say. I never want to let you down or have you go. It's better off this way. For all the dirty looks, the photograph your boyfriend took. Remember when you broke your foot from jumping out the second floor? I'm not okay. Yeah, yeah. I'm not okay. Yeah, yeah. That's my rendition of I'm Not Okay, in parentheses, I Promise, by the band of all bands, My Chemical Romance. The year, my friends, is 2007. 2007, what a year. It's the year that Oprah opened her Leadership Academy for Girls in Johannesburg. It is the year that the iPhone debuts, and I know we've talked about this before on the pod in 2007, but huge, 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 huge iPhone. I mean, come on. It is the year when, well, no one really cares about an Aqua Teen Hunger Force marketing guerrilla campaign now, do they? They say that in 2007 is when Britney Spears began her year-long breakdown. Sadly, that same year, Anna Nicole Smith is laid to rest, as I think I've also talked about... spoken about before. 300 comes out, the movie starring Gerard Butler with abs, while Regis Philbin goes live again, returns to be live with Regis and Kelly. What else happened? Oh, Knocked Up came out, biggest movie.
It was huge.
Huge. Also Superbad.
Oh, I fucking, that changed my life.
Huge. And Jordan Sparks won American Idol. Lindsay Lohan got arrested multiple times in the year 2007. Oh, Amy Winehouse sings the blues. Gorgeous. Gorgeous. The View. Whoopi Goldberg joins The View.
I remember that.
Also big.
Big.
But... before I introduce my guest, you know, we gotta do hit songs 2007 because I do feel the way that we get into the nostalgic moments of the time are remembering the big songs. So crank that Soulja Boy. Huge. Thanks for the memories. Fall Out Boy. Party Like a Rock Star. Shop Boys. Remember that? The Way I Are. Timbaland. Stronger by Kanye, now known as Ye. Apologize. A lot of Timbaland. No One, Alicia Keys, Bartender, T-Pain. Huge year. And you're probably wondering, where were we listening to Cyclone by Baby Bash? Well, we were listening to Baby Bash in Miami. And who are we? We are joined today by the one, the only, River Ramirez. River.
Hello.
Wow. First of all, this is a very special episode because why? We're recording from Chile.
Yeah, we're in Chile right now. We're sitting in an Airbnb and it's really beautiful outside and there's a little porch and it's pretty insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so funny that here we are kind of at the end of the world talking about youth nostalgia.
Ugh.
So, you know, I gotta know... what were you like? What was going on? You were in Miami. Who were you? What were you wearing? Who were your friends? What were you listening to? What was going on in the world of River? Paint the picture for us.
Okay. So I was a total freak in school. So I'm in high school, 2007. I'm a senior, so I'm always in my art class because I did a lot of competitions, like art competitions, and I just drew all the time. So I was there in that class. I was in choir. It was really big in my life.
Cool.
So I was in the choir and the band.
Did you play an instrument?
I played percussion, like marimbas and xylophone and stuff
cool.
like that.
Cool.
Yeah. Very simple stuff.
Xylophone's rare. You don't meet many a xylophone player.
Yeah. I loved it. It was really cool.
How did you get into that?
My best friend was an amazing like percussionist and drummer, and she wanted to join the drumline, and I thought the drumline was really cool too. And so I was like trying really hard to join the drumline, but I was like, I'm not as good. I'll just do percussion. And I'm like, because I still love like the team, the like we used to like perform for other schools. So it was like a really amazing feeling to like be part of a band.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, so I did that for a little bit. I tried out for drumline, but of course I didn't make it because... Yeah.
Whenever I think of drumline, I just think of the Nick Cannon movie.
Yeah. But they were so cool. They were the coolest to me. I was like, fuck, that's so hot. That's so cool. I want to do that. But I didn't have the patience or passion.
So then you pivoted to xylophone.
So xylophone on my spare time, art most of the time, and then choir. And we would sing at different schools. So that was like senior year. That was senior year, and I'm in Miami. I'm living behind the Mall of Americas. My friends are total freaks. I'm on drugs also, I think. Yeah.
What
I'm,
drugs?
I'm smoking a lot of weed. Mm. I'm getting drunk. Mm. I'm smoking cigarettes. I'm doing ecstasy. I'm wow. doing acid.
We're living life.
I'm like just totally
euphoria vibes.
Yeah, euphoria vibes, but like everyone else was sexual and I was just like extremely not, or like I would just like deny that part of myself. So I was always like the weird friend that was always there and always had like running eyeliner and like short black hair.
Well, yeah, what was the look? I want to walk us through your style evolution, because I kind of want to know freshman year through senior year your style evolution. And kind of were you also hanging out with the same crew?
Okay, freshman year I'm like, I'm new, I'm trying to make friends. I had some friends I met in over the summer before high school, just like through a summer camp, who were also coming to my school maybe, and they were like two long-haired Cuban skater girls, and they were gay. Yeah, they were all gay. I made all these like gay friends, like lesbians, and I was like, I'm not a lesbian, because I had like a boyfriend over the summer who also I joined into the school, and I wanted to go because he was going.
Was your school big?
Yeah, it was really big. It was a public school. Mm-hmm. It was big, I think. Not like crazy, but
like, were there like 1,000 kids in your class, or like a few hundred or a few thousand?
I don't know. Maybe 1,000.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Maybe less. Maybe 500. No.
Yeah. We'll ballpark it.
There were thousands of kids in the school. I know that for sure.
So let's just say, let's cut it even, 750.
Okay, yeah.
Like, there was no way that you knew everyone in your class's name.
No.
Right. Like, you could probably go out to a party and meet someone who you went to high school with, and you would have no idea.
Yeah.
Like, you would be like, oh, yeah, I go there too. Weird.
Yeah, I'd be like, I guess I knew most of the seniors,
yeah.
right? Because you, yeah.
Yeah, well, you go up with them.
But there were always like new people who came in. But then they would make a splash. It was always like, whoa, who's that?
So your freshman year, what were you wearing? What were you dressed like? What was going on?
My freshman year, I would say I was pretty like goth. So I'm coming in with like long striped socks till my knees. I'm very Hot Topic.
Yes.
I'm wearing little mini skirts. I'm wearing long socks. I'm wearing pigtails. I'm wearing, my hair is different colors. I stole from Hot Topic, so I'm wearing a bunch of Hot Topic stuff. I have like I got these rainbow things and I didn't know represented gay. Mm-hmm. I just liked them. So mm-hmm. I would wear these rainbow ribbons in my hair. Then lots of eyeliner. That was the look.
So kind of like classic goth, like classic flirty goth, I would say.
Yeah, for sure.
And then where do we go? Do we evolve out of that? Or yeah. did you were your friends also fellow goths, or were you just like the goth friend in the group?
So I had a goth friends also. Yeah, a lot of my friends were goth and like into metal music. Mm. And so it was my boyfriend at the time mm-hmm. who was bi. Mm-hmm. Everyone was bi also. Like I had to be scared of him. Like I was scared every time he went away with the band because he was going to do something.
Because you were like, oh, he was going away with the band and there he's going to hook up with his band.
Yeah. And he would.
So you were in an open relationship in high school.
No.
He would just cheat on you.
Yes.
Sucks. That sucks.
Yeah. It sucked. So I guess I stayed with that for a long time where anyone I go out with, I'm like, you're going to do the same thing. You're going to go and you're going to kiss someone on the bus.
How long were you with him?
Maybe a couple years.
Oh, wow. So like a solid chunk of your high school.
Solid chunk of high school. Yeah.
But so you were in the goth clique and did the style kind of stay the same throughout?
No. So I went from goth to like finding out more emo stuff. There were a lot of like bands in my school. So they were like a lot of really cool, like the cool, oh my God, the older people were. So I go in. Ninth grade and I see the coolest fucking crew. They look like they're in college. They're throwing fucking hacky sacks around. They're like dressed in Quicksilver stuff.
Whoa.
Their like bodies are awesome. There's these like hot girls that I'm like jealous of. Mm-hmm. That I'm like, they're too hot. and everyone's like in a band or like friends with people in the band or like an artist mm-hmm. or just like everyone is like really cool. And like from different countries. So everyone looks like was a different form of like a Latin person. And then I saw them and then there was this like other group of like druggies that I fucking loved. There was this girl named Karen who was like horrible, like a horrible person. Yeah. Everyone would talk about her. And then there was this guy that was in love with her who was like the hottest fucking guy I've ever seen in my life.
If you were to see him now, would you still think he was hot? Or was it like a high school specific?
Maybe
hotness?
It was a high school thing. He was kind of like Trent.
Okay.
From Daria.
Yeah.
A little bit like that, but no like facial hair or anything. Just kind of like a goth art boy. Basically what I am trying to be. So I saw him, I was like, oh my God. So they had like this romance and then they had a friend who was just this like random, like this really beautiful, tall girl who had really, really short hair and would always wear like a scarf on her mm-hmm. head and she looked like she was dying. She always had like dark circles under her eyes because she was maybe like high or
something.
Like, they were the druggies. They were yeah. One day I sat with that crew because my boyfriend knew them and they gave me my first cigarette and I was like, I love you guys.
Oh my God.
I was like starstruck.
Where did you smoke your first cigarette? When was
on
it?
The
was
track.
It during school?
Yeah.
Wow. On the track? Yeah. On like during school hours?
During lunch.
Oh my God. Do you remember what kind of cigarette it was?
Like a Marlboro or something.
I remember the first cigarette I ever smoked vividly.
Yeah. I was like, whoa.
Did you like it? Did you inhale? Or did they like...
I couldn't smoke for a long time. I was like, ew, this is weird. But I was like, I'm going to fucking do it. And then I taught myself to smoke. I was like, I'm going to do this more. This is going to be my thing. And so I practiced like the hand motions because I used to be so awkward with it. Like I'm like, they smoke, I gotta smoke.
Yeah.
They look so cool.
Yeah. I also thought smoking was so fucking cool. And I started.
And I was like, I want to die.
Yeah. I started smoking cigarettes fully in middle school.
What?
Yes. Because, well, my mom smoked and my friends, you know, in DC, not dissimilar necessarily from what you're saying, but in DC, there are so many different types of people from all over the world. Mm. One of my best friends just so happened to be from Holland, mm-hmm. and her whole family smoked cigarettes, and her brother was like, this is probably not true, but it felt like he was openly smoking cigarettes in front of his family when he was like 15.
What?
And I don't think that was true, but I remember seeing him and being like, whoa, that's so cool. And then Lillian and I stole a cigarette either from her dad or her brother and split it like underneath like in her basement but like outside like a crawl space almost, and we split the cigarette, and it was a Jarum, you know, like they made cloves. They also made cigarettes. And that's what my first cigarette was.
Wow.
And I remember then she would hoard cigarettes for us to smoke, and she would keep them in a Minnie Mouse Band-Aid case.
Wow. I had a friend that always had like the weed, the cigarettes,
yeah.
the drinks, and we're still friends. I'm still friends with my close crew from high school.
That's so nice.
Yeah, it's really funny because it's like we're all still the same.
Yeah.
Like when I go to Miami, I'm like, only with one friend, I'm like, where's the weed? Where's the wine, dude? Give it.
Yeah.
I'm bored.
Yeah.
But she's gone now and she's like married, but she's really cool. She's still living like that kind of, like, she was the one who introduced me to everything. Like one week, every week would be like her being like, you want to try weed? And then me being like, I don't think that I would like to try weed. And then me a week later being like, so do you have any? And then trying it. And then the next week she was like, you want to try ecstasy? And I was like, oh my God, absolutely not. A week later, I would be down for that.
Did
Coke,
you have
acid.
Good experiences? Because it's very rare. You are one of the few people that have been on my show thus far that has had like real drug experience in high school. Which I always felt was kind of like par for the course of high school.
Yeah, I thought that's what you do.
Yeah, but turns out a lot of people are fucking squares. Okay.
I know. I'm like, I did Coke in the back of my English class when the teacher was there.
What?
Yeah, there was this coke dealer in my class.
What year are we in high school?
Oh, now we're maybe in like 10th or 11th grade.
Okay.
Maybe 10, I think 10th.
So we're like,
we're getting up.
We're going, we're
like a little different. Oh, we have uniforms, so it's,
oh,
it's no, we're in like 11th grade.
Okay, did your school change to uniforms?
We did, and it kind of like felt trapped after that.
Well, because like identity expression is so rooted, especially at a, I mean, it's still,
we all still tried to make it our thing.
What would you do?
Like, well, we looked to the cool kids. So the cool kids who I saw like with hacky set with just like hanging out, playing music in the bands, looking really hot. They would just wear hot versions of the uniform.
Mm.
So sometimes people would just buy their own types of khaki pant, their own type of polo, more form-fitting.
Sure.
And then put jewelry and like different socks.
And you could still do your eyeliner.
Yeah, I could still do my eyeliner. So you could still express yourself.
Right.
Kind of.
In like a restricted, within the boundaries of the uniform.
Yeah, yeah.
So you were in class in 11th grade and you tried Coke for the first time?
So there was a Coke dealer who had a crush on me, and I thought he was really gross. I was like, ugh, just like, ewa. And he would always bother me, and I was always like this. So I didn't understand why he wanted my attention. Mm-hmm. I was like, fuck you, you're gross, get out. And he liked that.
Mm.
And he kept like, he's like, I think you're so beautiful. Like, damn, like, yeah, I know you don't like me, but, well, and I'm, and just like a really, I don't know, gross guy. And he was like, you want some Coke? And I was like, no. So I said no so many times. And then one day I was like, well, I've never tried Coke, I could try it. And I was like, yeah, as long as I don't owe you anything.
Whoa.
So then he's like, yeah, 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 try it. And then I tried it in the back of class, and I was really happy for a second and felt the drip. And then I was like, and then I was like overly social during lunch. And then I was like, okay, I tried it once, I don't think I want to do that again. Although later I did an eight ball with my friends. It came up afterwards, like a few times, but I was like made a thing to be like, not this.
But then you did it again later in high school.
Later, yeah.
How did you know? How did you do like a key bump of it in class? Like, how did you know how to do it? Movies?
Yeah, he told me what to do. I used a dollar.
That's so crazy.
I used it on my desk.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I can't imagine.
Because I always had the trust of the teachers. So they always felt like I was good.
Were you a good student?
Yeah. Yeah, I was good. I was just always like high.
That's so funny. I was always high too, but I was a bad student.
Yeah. I was very outspoken in class and like really, and sometimes I was like rolling still or like on drugs in class and being like, yes, like in Beowulf.
Like really like making a point.
Yeah, just being like, I really understand the trajectory of, you know, I didn't understand at first like the Shakespearean language, but now I'm really getting like, I'm feeling it. Like what he's saying, he's talking about the depths of emotions here in Beowulf.
That's so funny.
And it's like...
The first time you did ecstasy, was it also at school or was it like on a weekend at a party?
The first time I did ecstasy, maybe it was, oh my God. The first time I did ecstasy was in the back of a car on the way to Miami Beach listening to Radiohead for the first time.
Wow. Which album?
Not for the first time, but listening to Radiohead, hanging out with like 21-year-olds that I worked at Carvel with.
Whoa. Okay, so you had a job in high school.
I had a job.
And you worked at Carvel.
I worked
Creamery.
At Carvel. Yeah.
I love Carvel. I love Carvel cake.
Yeah.
When did you start working there?
When I was 16.
And were you a scooper?
Yes.
And
but my hands would freeze, so it would hurt. So I'd be like, do I have to? I would always be like, are you sure you don't want a frozen yogurt?
Try and sell
really
them on
pushing,
something.
Pushing other stuff so I didn't have to scoop.
That's really funny. Yeah. Did you eat a lot of ice cream when you worked
there? I did. I gained weight. Wow. I would take a lot and they were like, you can't take that much.
And you're like, shut up.
Yeah. And then they would be like, if you make a wrong one, you can put it in the fridge. And then like at the end of the day, take it. So sometimes I would just pretend to make wrong ones so I could take them home.
Smart.
Yeah. And I'd be like, I brought ice cream.
So I want to get into like your quintessential high school story because I feel like I could ask you a million and one questions because this is not... the image that I had in my head.
Really?
I don't know. I think I always... The clothing and, like, the vibe going from, like, goth to emo. Oh, was there any other style evolution after emo? Or were you kind of just, like, in the emo phase until you were a senior?
Emo and then, like, artsy, I guess.
Did you ever do, like, power clashing?
What's that?
That's when you wear, like, plaid and, like, houndstooth at the same time.
No, I hated that.
Like, Sarah Squirm is a power clasher.
I always wore black hoodies. I ended up, like, in jeans and a black hoodie looking like an emo boy, basically, was my my big inspiration for the rest of high school was like Adam Lazara from Taking Back Sunday.
Love. And the Red, I need to know, I need you to elaborate briefly before I get into your story on the Red eyeshadow.
Oh, did I say here?
Right before we started, you were telling me.
Okay. Yeah. I love Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance.
So hot.
So hot. Oh my God. I loved him. I was like in love. I was like, this is the hottest person I've ever seen. And he looks like a girl. This is great. Like he looks like Christina Ricci. So I had his poster up on my wall and he had red eyeshadow under his eyelid, like in the bottom lower, what do you call
lower
this?
Lid lower like lid? Yeah, your lower lid.
And I copied it because I wanted to be him. I was attracted to him. It was like I was like, whoa, I saw, like I was like, I want to be that. And also like, that's so hot. So I wore that to school
all the time.
Yeah. And then people thought it was sick and I loved that.
Yeah. Because it became like your signature.
To look sick. Yeah.
Love. Did you have any idea in school that you, like, did you just think you were straight? What was the vibe? Because you, even though you hung out with all the bisexual people, did you, like, know in your heart of hearts? Or was it something that you just didn't really even think about?
It's something I didn't really think about. I would have these like kind of obsessions a bit of like certain girls in my classes. But I didn't know it was that. I thought I was straight because I also am attracted to men.
Right.
I'm attracted to like everything.
Right.
I'm just attracted to like, I mean, I guess I'm not attracted to like cis straight men much. I'm attracted to when I can see all of it in one person, which I saw in Gerard Way.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Which we still see in Gerard Way.
Yeah, which we still see in Gerard Way. That was a really big like formative thing for me. But yeah, I forget where I am now.
Okay, now we can just fully go. I want to hear your story. When I brought up that I had a story, you like kind of immediately, or that I wanted to hear a story, you kind of immediately were like, oh, I have one. And I want to hear your high school story.
Oh, right. Yeah. That one. I was thinking of drugs because you brought that up. And I'm like, I guess the most formative time for me was the first day. I think it was the first day I did, I mean, ecstasy, which was in the back of the car. And I'm like, is that the one?
You can say any story you want.
Damn. Okay. Formative in what sense?
Just like a time. I don't know. Something that interests me in doing this podcast is I'm in the camp where I think that a lot of what happened to us between the ages of like 14 and 18 is like very imprinting in many ways on the person that we are now.
Yeah.
So it doesn't need to be like it can be a heavy story. It can be a funny story. It can be anything that you think was like just very emblematic of that time for you.
Yeah. So many things. Emblematic of that time.
Or just something that sticks out in your head where you're like, whoa.
Yeah, I mean, the first time I did ecstasy, I would say like my whole journey with ecstasy and drugs, like all that, because I would also go to church rolling sometimes.
What?
Still rolling. I would sneak out of home to do ecstasy on the beach with my friends, come back on the bus. It would be like Sunday or something, and then enter my home, and sometimes my family was wide awake and I was like, I was just upstairs at my friend's house.
Was your family religious?
Yeah. So my mom's very Christian. So then sometimes I would come back and my mom would be like, let's go to church. And I'd be like, no, please, dear God, no. And then I would go and I would still be rolling, like clenching my teeth and like, and like crossing my eyes and like trying to like stop it. And also like the, but the music would sound really good. And I was like, oh, Father, you're my everything. I can't live without you, my Lord. Yes. So I was like, because the bands were really good. And I love music.
Yeah. And when you're rolling and you're at church, that's kind of the vibe.
Yeah.
Did you, were you ever religious in high school?
I was really, I really believed in God. Yeah.
Wow.
At some, at like towards the end. And to also when I got like clean, when I said, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go clean. I'm not going to do drugs anymore.
When did that happen?
Like senior year.
Did you become straight edge?
Not straight edge, but I just kind of like stopped because like my friend group was starting, everyone was starting to get more into stuff and sleeping around and like just being super messy. And I was like, oh, I don't think I want to do this anymore. Like, I don't want to be a part of those moments with them anymore.
Yeah, I had a similar feeling with some friends of mine in high school where like, I think, did you ever feel like unsafe? Not in the sense of like something that you would like die or something like that. I just remember I would have these moments where I would be with people and like drugs started becoming more intense and like the energy started to get more heavy. And I would have these really intense feelings of like not feeling safe.
Yeah, I mean, I felt safe with my friends, though, with my friend group. I didn't feel unsafe. There was one friend who, like, it was this guy that I went out with after, like, my first love.
And it Your first love, who was the bisexual band person. Okay.
Bisexual band person who now has tattoos all over his face. I went out with his best friend afterwards.
Out of spite?
I mean, it was like he was giving me a lot of attention. I thought he was really cute. We would all hang out. Like, there was a group of us that would hang out. And I was like, oh, I can do that. And I thought I really liked him, but I didn't know the concept of rebound yet. So it was like those feelings were still, were like... Yeah, so that was my first rebound. But I was always very innocent, like, when I was in stuff with people.
Yeah.
It was always, like, kissing and, like, ooh, blue, 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 letters.
That's sweet.
And, like, makeouts. So that's how I was.
And then when you decided to stop doing drugs, then you, did you, like, turn to church and, like, God? How did you decide to start believing... Or not decide to, what made you kind of like start believing in God in a more real way when you were a senior?
Well, no, it was a moment where I was in a where I was in a motel. Drugs had led me to a motel with all of my friends. We're 16 and there's like 20 something year old guys with us, or like one, and one guy with that like graduated school.
There's always that fucker.
Yeah, so there's like that, and they're all like wanting to hook up with my friends, and I'm the freak. I'm the sexless freak that draws all the time and makes weird voices, and everyone tells to like, hey, calm down. So I'm there, and I'm high as shit on E. No, I'm on acid, and then they take out E, and they broke it up into a bunch of lines. And we're in this like sex hotel, basically, like, and there's like a bathroom and there's a bed, whatever. And I'm, and there's lights. So I'm in the corner with the lights, tripping on the lights. And then I go to take another sniff of the E. And during that moment, I was like, if my mom were to see this, she would be so sad. This is not like, I'm like, this is going to be the last time. This is not, I'm like, oh, like what am I doing?
Right.
Yeah, I wasn't proud of myself. So after that, I After that, I went with my friends to the beach. They were going to do E. And when I got there and saw everybody while being sober, so instead I started taking care of them when they were on E. And I was like, it was the first time I said like, no, I don't think I want any. And I was starting to have nightmares of the guilt of like doing all these drugs and sneaking out and like my parents not knowing and yeah, so I just wanted to be like better than that. Yeah,
I remember I had that. This, it's so like funny when you talk to someone where you feel like you might have had very different experiences, but like I've had so many similar experiences of being like being in situations and feeling like shame almost,
yeah,
of being like, wow, if my mother were to see me like doing this shit in this place. And I have one very vivid memory of being at it, because hardcore music was really big in DC,
in Miami too. I was all about it.
Yeah, yeah. Like I was at this hardcore show with one of my best friends, who's still one of my best friends to this day, Kenzie, and it was at a house in DC, and like it was at a house where like no one knew what this house was. Mm-hmm. Like in my mind, it could have just been a completely abandoned house, but who knows? And I think we were like fucked up when we got there, but I just remember being there and the house was fucking destroyed. Like holes all over the walls, spray paint all over the walls, like the fucking like anarchy symbol everywhere. Yeah.
I went into houses like that to smoke.
Yeah. And I remember people doing lines off of the back of a CD. Like it was just, and then, but it was also weird because it was when the crossover happened where like not everyone that was in the hardcore scene was straight edge anymore. Mm. And like people were getting fucked up.
Right.
And I remember we go back into the room where the band was playing, frankly, terrible music.
Uh-huh.
And I saw some guy like pop his head, like moshing so aggressively, pop his head through the wall. Whoa. Looked out, was like gushing blood. Whoa. And that's when I like snapped the fuck out of it and was like, if my mother knew that this is where I was, like high out of my fucking mind in like an anarchy graffiti room with a dude that's bleeding from the head, like she would fucking die.
Yeah.
And I like looked around and I also was like, are all of you guys like 25?
Yeah. Like, yeah. We were, it was like, you know, adult men around.
Yeah. I was like, I'm fully like 16 years old.
And we're
old.
Like, give us the drugs. And they're like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, straight up would buy pot from this guy who graduated from like American University and was fucking 25 years old.
Yeah.
He would wear a Barbie hat and scoot around on a scooter in Bethesda, but that's another story. But that for me was an experience where I was like, oh no, no. And then I had to just like kind of peel back from all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. Same. Yeah. I was like, oh, I want to go to, well, also my friends didn't graduate. A lot of my friends didn't graduate. And I was like, I want to graduate. I want to move on. I'm like, we would talk about moving to New York, like all as a fantasy. Like, we're all going to move to New York. It's going to be so amazing. We're just going to be there. We're just going to open drawers of weed and just like chill and like be best friends forever and like fuck off. And I can still have a crush on my friend who's like part of the crew and it'll always be an option.
Did you?
But they didn't graduate. And
you were like, fuck that, I need to graduate.
One became like a druggie and I don't know where he is now. I think he's better and he was like a great person. And then there were like weird friend dramas and people not graduating. And then I was like alone in school and I was like, oh damn, like you gotta get my shit together.
So then you started to seriously believe in God.
Yeah, I guess so. I got really into God. I got really into God more in community college.
So your senior year, when you mean that you got into God, would you start like actively going to church with your mom, not on ecstasy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I started to feel like then something inside of me all the time was like, I'm feeling sad at church. There's something sad about this. There's something deeply like makes me angry and sad to be here, sad to see. And then I started doubting it again. But there was like a girl in one of my, like around, who was a, like an emo screamo person, mm-hmm. like one of the like cool ones. Mm-hmm. And she was really Christian and she would go to this church. And I really admired how openly faithful she was.
Yeah.
At like to be in like that scene, mm-hmm. and then to be like, I really believe in God and I like, yeah, I can be this way, the way that I am. And I can also like believe in God and have faith and stuff and be cool about it. And still have friends who like don't believe the same things. And also at that time there was Under Oath.
What's that?
Under Oath was a screamo band that was Christian.
Wow.
It was really cool that I really loved. So I was like, okay, so you could still enjoy music. Mm-hmm. You could still have had a rough past. Mm-hmm. You can still like, you know, be you and have faith. And so I started believing more. But I also was a virgin for a long time. So that was also a big, big part of it.
Did you want to have sex in high school did you just feel that feeling of like sexlessness that you described?
I felt like it wasn't important. I was like, I don't need to do that right now. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's really brave, because I think that so much,
but I was also scared,
right?
Yeah, because everyone told me it hurt. And so I imagined an unbearable pain. Like a crazy, I was like, no way, I couldn't even stick a tampon up my,
really?
Yeah, I had like a mental block with my vagina, like I was like, I never fingered myself. I was like, I don't know what's in there, but I was like,
I don't know what's in there.
Yeah, I don't know what's in there, but I was like a like chronic masturbator. So there was like, I was so horny.
Right.
So horny.
So you would masturbate all the time, but you would never insert anything into your vagina.
No.
Wow. But when you masturbated, it was just like, what? Like you just like rub your clit.
Yeah.
And then you figured it out.
Yeah.
Wow. I was so curious to stick my fingers in my own vagina.
Wow.
I just was
mine
like,
mine was all closed up.
I was like, I gotta know what's in this fucker. I gotta know.
I was like, I do not want to know what's in there.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Oh my God. Is that the sound of a door knock that I hear? Why, yes, it is. We're now in the school guidance counselor's office. Oh, my God. Hi. Can you believe? Hi. And guess what? I'm your guidance counselor.
Oh.
In this segment, River, we like to kind of rewrite the past.
Wow.
We get to use this as a time to release this. I feel like you are the kind of person that will really take advantage of this, because I always say to people, like, you know, you can use this time however you want. If you want to heal a past trauma, trauma is a very loaded word, but it doesn't need to be, you know, it can be as heavy or as light.
Right.
If you want to say, if you want to get some things off your chest to someone, if you want to say fuck you to someone, if you want to apologize to someone, this is just your time to come in and be like, you know what, looking back, like, here's how I want to rewrite the past.
Yeah.
Do you have a moment like that or a person like that that you would like to use this time for?
How to rewrite the past. I would like to...
It could even be to yourself as well. We've had some people do that too.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, no, I would like to apologize to the girl that I threw piss on.
What?
I was really fucked up.
I love how I was like, it could be anything you want.
Well, okay, I was really fucked up in high school. Okay, and there's a couple people I need to apologize to, actually. I was really fucked up in high school because I was so in pain. And suicidal, and like I would choke myself out and stuff. Like I really hated myself, and I hated going home, had a hard time at home. So when I went to school, I kind of like turned into a prankster, like this joker, kind of like silly person who might do something and make you uncomfortable. And to laugh, to make
like
other
a
people
class
laugh. Class clown, but like more risky.
Yeah.
So one day I thought it would be really funny if my friend needed to pee and I had a milk carton. I was like, pee in this milk carton so I can go around and offer this milk to someone and see if they take it. And we'll put the straw in it. I'll just be like, I started drinking this chocolate milk because chocolate milk was a big commodity then.
Yeah, very, it's delicious.
Delicious. So. I was like, yeah, and then we'll give it to somebody. And then we tried to give it to people and people were like, you're like pranking us or something. Like you're going to, cause we know you.
Right. They were like onto it.
And then eventually no one did it. And then we were running around the school. We're like, where do we put this? And we were in the bathroom. We were like laughing. Haha. We're laughing and we're throwing like, at the time I was throwing globs of paper, like paper with water, like in up to the walls and like into people's stalls and stuff while they were peeing, not knowing who was there, just like running in and running out.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really funny. And so did my friends. But then I took it too far and I threw in the milk. The pee carton. And we heard this person inside go, oh my God. And we ran. And me and my friend did it. We both did it. Like we did it together. So I wasn't the only one. But then afterwards, we were like, that was for me still to this day. I think about that. And I'm like, that was so shitty. Why did I like I had no empathy. That was like or like I couldn't relate to people or connect to people, so I treated them like a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very easy for me to do that, to like pretend like I'm so alone, so you're not like me,
right?
We're not connected.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I regret that. I regret this person who I used to jump on their book bag because the book bag looked like a saddle.
What do you mean?
Like they had a huge book. They were a nerd and they had all these books.
Oh.
They were a nerd and a lesbian and I feel bad. I'm like, and we like this person would also like laugh at me and my friend's jokes, but we would pick on them also. But then they would like love what we were saying and joking about. That was like the way we won people over. Like even if we were shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Like people would be like, you guys are crazy. And then, but then we would make them laugh and it would be fine. So, I'm like, my God, there's so much here.
No, I mean, it's so interesting. I think it's like nice to get it off. For me, at least, it's like those feelings of being a teenager and like feeling so lonely.
Yeah.
Like I felt that way all the time. And yeah. I think everyone felt lonely in their own way because trying to figure out who you are when everyone is trying to figure out who they are. I mean, we're always trying to figure out who we are. But like really in this crazy time, it's really intense. And we don't have, as teenagers, the emotional, frankly, maturity and or vernacular to even express what that feeling is.
Yeah.
So we do things like you're saying that now you're like, wow, that sucks that I did that.
Yeah.
But at the time, it's like, too, kind of just how you were dealing with expressing yourself or like feeling seen or having friends or connecting to people. And like, it's sometimes it sucks.
It sucks. Yeah. I do regret that. That's like a big one. And, but that was the time I was like doing drugs and like kind of like super like away from myself. Like really, I just spent a lot of my life I spent out of body, like an out of body. I was like, nothing's real.
Right.
I'm like, I could do anything. Yeah. And then I started being like, wait, no, not that.
Right. Well, as your guidance counselor, I'm here to let you know that I am releasing you of those things, which I know is exactly what you needed.
Thank you.
Is me to release you.
Thank you for releasing me.
I don't know. I do think that it's something that I like about this show. Obviously, it's my fucking show and I can talk about whatever I want. It is the collective realization that all of us were going through some similar shit, even though we were so fucking different or could have hated each other in high school or could have been best friends with each other in high school. Yeah. Like everyone was a little shit in one way or another, whether or not you threw a fucking carton of piss on someone. By the way, like that never happened to me. But you know what did happen to me? People treating me like fucking garbage in other ways.
People treated me like garbage, too. I only became a bully because people were bullying me and people were really mean.
For sure.
People would call me a lesbian like in the middle of class, like loudly. And I'd be like, no, I'm not.
it's so much of being a teenager is survival and like reaction.
Yeah.
And then we base our decisions most of the time based on fear. Like half of the time, the decisions that we make are not for us.
Yeah.
And like, it's purely because of how we want people to view us or because we feel like we need to be a certain way because we are scared of something, whatever that may be. A parent, a friend, a teacher, ourselves, whatever.
Yeah.
Wow. What advice would you give your high school self now?
Oh, I'd tell my high school self, you'll get over feeling like you want to die. And you're going to feel so cool and so hot.
That's so nice.
Yeah, because I felt so ugly, so stupid. So I was so low. And I didn't really see my self.
Like you didn't see you. But that's so interesting because you say you were a good student and you were like active.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting to see people that were active in pockets of their school, like competitive art, crazy, xylophone in the band, but then
then I ended up in, I had to do night school at some point because I was failing.
Yeah.
So I was doing drugs.
Yeah.
So it was night school. And even in night school, I was still like showing up rolling like
ecstasy was a big deal for you.
Yeah, because what I did with drugs, and I did acid a few times too. What I did with drugs was just, this is going to sound insane. What I wanted to do, because I was really into the beat poets, and I wanted to be like them.
Sure.
What I loved to do was to try to get high in some way. Oh, bars. Do you remember bars? Mm-hmm. Like the pill?
Like Xanny bars?
I guess so. The one that made you like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that too, just whatever I could get in my body. I love to try to still stay grounded in that insanity. And I was like training my brain throughout when I was doing drugs. I was like, oh, I'm going to try to see how I can like hold on to reality while still like tripping and see if I can hold, hold this sober reality while I'm tripping and like what that would do. So a way to like expand my mind.
Yeah. Like you were really seeking something in doing drugs. You weren't just like being like, oh, haha, I want to be like a fuckface. You were actually like taking drugs to in pursuit of expansion.
Yeah, I was. But then, sometimes I would just like, you know, get high. There were like really embarrassing moments where I got like I did too much ecstasy and it was like, I was a fool completely, mm-hmm. like was on top of a boy or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't even want, I remember it was like my friend and then I'm like on top of him because I know he likes me. And then which I want to apologize to him too. And then I was like kind of teasing to like kiss and then he started to, and I was like, oh no, actually I got really sober very quickly. Mm-hmm. I was like, actually, no, I think that's like not good. That's a mistake. Sorry. And I was like, God, I was like such an idiot. Like I just lost control.
I did shit like that, but I was like hypersexual in high school, mm-hmm. and especially like toward the end, even though I had boyfriends, I was like still very, actually no, my sophomore year, I was really hypersexual too. Whatever. All to say is
I was not. So I was like, the only thing that I've been like holding.
Yeah. Now you're like teasing.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, who is that? Yeah. No, that's not me.
It's like a different creature came out.
No, I was like, nuh-uh.
I, though, would watch so much. I, too, was also like perpetually, like, unquenchably horny, mm-hmm. and probably like addicted to porn at some point where I was just watching like so much porn, or I would like love to watch The L Word or like or like Boogie Nights, like stuff with like so much like sex and drug use and like whatever, just like like rocking back and forth in my chair watching it. And I just remember like when I get cringy about my like fucked up, like drunk high moments, it was always me. Like, I remember the first time I hooked up with my senior year of high school boyfriend, mm-hmm. I vividly remember we were at this kid's house. You know, there was always the kid that had parties, like the party house.
Yeah.
We're at his house and I remember I like straddled him and I remember the whole thing just felt in my mind so performative now, where I was like doing what I thought was really hot and like trying to like bite his lip or like something like that, that now makes me want to die.
Yeah.
But in the moment I was like, well, this is how you gotta be hot. This is how all the girls are hot, by straddling their boyfriends. Like, oh, gross. No. gross. But yeah, it's that feeling of looking back and being like, what the fuck were you doing?
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
So crazy. I had my first boyfriend one day after he broke up with me through email.
No, I was actually.
So I showed up to school one day.
He broke up with you?
I showed up to school one day and I didn't find him anywhere. I couldn't find him. He didn't come to hang out with me. And I had no idea. And then everybody in school was like, I'm so sorry.
What?
And all my friends were like, I'm so sorry for what happened to you. And I was like, what happened? And they're like,
check your email.
They're like, oh, Pedro said he like broke up with you. So I was like, and I still feel that. Like, I still feel that way. It was so embarrassing. Everyone knew. People felt sorry for me. I had to do a whole day of school feeling like so vulnerable, crying.
Oh my God, I hate that feeling.
Couldn't find him anywhere.
Did he skip school that day or was he just avoiding you?
He was avoiding me. And then I go home and I open the email.
No.
And I'm dying. He like calls me a prude in the email. It's like cap. caps lock prude. And then in the end is like, but I'll still love you.
Should I name this episode Caps Lock Prude?
Yeah, Caps Lock Prude. Damn, that's my biggest fear is that people are like, prude, bitch. No, you prude ass bitch.
And I'm like, I think in hindsight, it's way cooler to be a prude in high school than it is to be me, where I was like also known as like the girl that like sucked dick and fucked. Like sucks.
My friends were like that. And I was like, oh, what's wrong with me that I can't do that?
But now you're out here.
Oh yeah. I would tell my high school self like, you're gonna like fuck. And yeah. you're gonna like, it's gonna be so cool. You don't even know. I felt like an incel.
Yeah.
And I was like an incel. Like if I was a guy, I would have been an incel.
You would have been on the forums.
Yeah.
You would have been. Were you a chat room person?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. A lot of my life was in chat rooms.
I feel like you would have been really good in a chat room.
Yeah. It's like all the things that how I developed in high school are exactly the way that I am now. Like I'm like, I chat on Instagram all the time to people as if it's a chat room.
Right.
Talking about art, talking about whatever. I'm like
art,
still
music, whatever
art,
it
music,
is.
Love your stuff. Hey, right. We should meet up.
Right.
Let's meet for coffee.
But that's like a really beautiful thing that I think is nice that existed really like for our generation. That I wonder if it still exists that way now. I think it's really cool when people
Snapchat.
Yeah. I think it's really cool when people have like a chat room way live about journal. Them. Oh, LiveJournal was huge. Were you popping on LiveJournal? Were you popping on MySpace?
I wasn't popping at all. I was like lame.
Live journaling actively?
I was live journaling like poetry and beautiful. Like sad thing. Basically, I am the same. Like I'm like, yeah, the LiveJournal has turned into my art Instagram. Like my MySpace is my art Instagram for business, which means like, hey, I'm here.
Right.
I was Lorelai at the time, so I'm like, I'm Lorelai at school. You know me right. From here. Let's add each other. I've seen you around.
Right.
You know.
I think a new question that I want to start asking moving forward is, do you think the person you are in high school is similar to the person you are now?
Yeah, very much. I feel like I was thinking about that recently because I just started feeling like really good. Like myself again, mm-hmm. myself completely, because sometimes I can like hide parts of myself really well if I don't want people to know stuff. But now I'm like, oh, I'm just like I was in high school, except like better,
mm-hmm.
like more put together.
Mm-hmm. Style evolution.
Yeah, style evolution, but still like technically the same. Like I had short mm-hmm. hair. I had short colored hair. I wore a lot of black hoodies.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to like try to wear makeup, but I was always like really comfortable, like looking like I always wanted to look like a hot boy.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, oh, and that's like what I'm still trying to do.
Yeah. And I also think that now you have more clarity about your identity.
Yeah, and like gender and stuff. I didn't know shit about that. I felt like a freak.
Right.
I was like, I don't know if I'm like, why do I look so bad when I try to be a woman?
Right.
Like, why do I feel like weird? Like I was like in like the only style I was like, well, I guess what the most thing that looks right on me is either like t-shirts and jeans, hoodies, or I dress like a 40-year-old Italian woman and I wear a scarf. So I started dressing like a 40-year-old Italian woman in community college. I'd wear like a scarf, a cardigan, like shitty. The style was like so bad.
I need to see pics.
It's really
you
bad.
You gotta hit me with some pics.
It's really bad.
Well, now the style is fully on point. Living in your gorgeous light.
Yes.
And that's we love a happy ending.
It's cool.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
It's fun to like reflect and think about it.
Yeah. It's crazy to grow.
Yeah. I feel like I could talk to you for 900 hours. Mm-hmm. Like, I have so many questions about the live journal. I have so many questions about what the poetry was.
Yeah.
I have so many questions about the art. Like, was the art that you were making similar to the art you make now?
I mean, it was weird. It was weird, but it was more like graffiti inspired.
Wow.
Because I was big at the time. Graffiti art, like graffiti artists inside of galleries was big at the time.
Yeah.
So
I also feel like that was like the big rise of like Banksy Shepherd Fairey.
Yeah. We were like, and skate culture. Miami has very big skate culture. All the guys around us were skaters.
Tagging.
The girls that I hung out with were skaters.
Yeah.
It was like, that's such a big part. Skate and surf and bands and, you know, cool.
Sounds like a dream.
But it wasn't. I felt so bad all the time. Yeah. I hated myself, which sucks. I'm like, oh, it was probably like, because I was like, oh, it was probably like hot.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it.
If only we could go back. If I could go back in time, I'd say, Greta, don't wear cap sleeves. They don't look good on you.
Yeah. I'd be like, go kiss a girl.
Finally, and I know that when we were off air, you told me that you didn't have a senior superlative. So I must know the two things that I want to end with. One, do you think that, like, what do you think your friends thought that you would, like, most likely to be or most likely to become? Or what do you think they would have said then?
I think an artist.
Yeah.
But I was also, like, funny. But weird.
So kind of.
I remember one time one of my friends saying she was talking to, like, an ex of mine, and then she mentioned my name, and he was like, I really like them. They're like really cool. They're really so weird. Why are they so weird? Everyone was just like, you're like doing your own thing. So that's what people thought.
Most likely to do their own thing.
Most likely to do their own thing. Yeah.
And I guess the final question is, because we don't have a proper superlative, was there a quote or a song lyric or any kind of idiom you would write on like a live journal or a MySpace or like an AIM away message or something of that sort? Were you a quote person or a lyric person?
I was not a quote person. No lyrics. Yeah.
Is there a lyric that like really still sticks with you from that time that meant a lot to you then? It's okay if there's not.
I have no idea. I'm like trying to think of probably something from Brand New or
Brand New.
Yeah, because I used to listen to them like laying down, thinking about my crushes, hurting, mm-hmm. just like hours and hours of Brand New and like fucking Jimmy Eat World.
Oh, yeah.
Like so romantic, just so like, oh, but so painful.
Yeah.
Still I'm there. Yeah. Like still I'm like living in that. One day I was like, do I like that? Because I'm like literally always there.
A quote that I used to like low-key to myself, always like love. And I think at one point in time it might have been my like it might have been somewhere on my MySpace or something. But it was that Incubus lyric.
Oh my God, I loved Incubus.
It was, the ocean looks like 1,000 diamonds strewn across the blue blanket. And you know, and then it goes, and in this moment, I'm happy.
Yeah.
And that was like a real, I used to be like, oh my God, like that fucking sucks so hard. And I still love Incubus, so.
Oh, probably like, I'm gonna go off Incubus. I loved fucking, meet me in outer space. Won't you spend the night? What was it?
Was that,
Damn, what was it?
Wait, Stellar.
Oh, I loved. I feel like Stellar was my. Yeah. I was like, oh my god, an astral romance.
I feel like Incubus was all about astral romances.
I was like, a float. My heart would float into the sky. Yes. And I was like, me in outer space.
Yes.
I love that shit.
Wow. Well, I loved talking to you, River.
Yeah, I love talking to you too. I am also surprised we have a lot in common.
Oh yeah. I mean, I was also like brooding art girl that yeah. was failing horribly.
Yeah.
Doing drugs.
Yeah. Doing drugs, having crushes that could never be.
Oh my god. I was said. Such a little romantic. Ooh. I was like, I will die for you.
Yeah. I was like, I will die for you, but I won't let you know.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna be like, you're just gonna feel a heavy vibe.
I mean, I've spoken about it before on this podcast, but I do say that like the love that we felt in high school is like so specific and can yeah. never be recreated. It's like so powerful. It's truly like doing the purest of drugs because
yeah.
your world is so limited at the time. So everything is amplified yeah. to 1,000. Like yeah.
I feel like that still when I love.
I mean, I feel like
I'm like anytime I've loved, it's been like, well, not anytime I've loved, but that specific high school love, like that first love, the pure you just wanting to love.
Yeah.
Without like thinking of, you know, how they fucked you up.
Right.
Is so for me, it's always like nerve wracking.
Yeah.
Like, I'm nervous and
it takes
like,
over your body.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, how am I even going to touch you?
Yeah.
Like how am I want to do everything, but I don't know. I feel so good to be around you. Yeah. I still feel like that when it happens.
No, I feel that. I feel like frenzied in that way yeah. too. And I think that like, you know, I still think love is so intense and like I intensely love Abe and I, but I think it's that feeling of like not fully being damaged yet.
Yeah.
Or like stepping into love, not being weary. I think that there's like a desperation and a tenderness when you're young.
Yeah.
And also you're still learning yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And also in that most of the time when you're a teenager in love, you have zero boundaries.
Oh, yeah.
And like as we get older, hopefully we learn like boundaries and
yeah.
like what healthy love is like, what unhealthy right. love is like and all of this shit that then like shapes our little fucking yeah. love brains.
Yeah, you're like, I want to be with you all the time.
Right.
Every second of every day.
I'm so sorry, I need to talk to you all the time. If I can't be with you, I'm fucking rude.
Yeah. At lunch, yeah. we're just going to be next to each other.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I want to breathe into your
yeah.
face.
I just want you to be like, we're just...
I want you to join my body.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. Oh my God, I wrote so many letters. And you would trade them during lunch or trade them in between classes. Oh, I love that. I love a letter.
It's true
I
romance.
Still write letters. I'm like, that's a thing like every ex of mine has where I'm like, it would be so funny if like at my funeral, they all come with my love letters because I'm like, there's so many, not so many, it's just specific people.
I bet they're all really beautiful.
Not actually a lot. Yeah, I mean, they're really like, woo. When I write a love letter, they're so, I'm like, I never want to know what I said. Please don't remind me. I'm going to feel different. I'm going to feel different. Just do not remind me. I'm like, I was thinking, what?
I know. It's crazy.
I was so in love with you.
Love sick puppies over here.
Oh, I love it though. I'm like, I love to go in like that.
Yep, head first.
Yeah, I'm like, whatever.
Why not? YOLO, as the kids say.
Yeah.
River, where can everyone find you, listen to you, intake your work?
You can find me on Instagram at Pile of Tears, on Twitter at Pile of Tears. I think TikTok, the same thing. I don't really post there, but I have some things. And I used to have a website, but I don't now. And then you could sign up for my newsletter.
We love a newsletter. We just were talking about letters.
Yeah. On my Insta. Love to write to people. Still haven't sent the first one out yet because I'm lazy. And then I perform at the Gibney Dance Center February 18th.
Go and see them. And that's in New York?
That's in New York.
Go see them.
But I'm doing it's a live stream because of Omicron. Bummer. But in March, I think like April and on, I'll be performing live again a lot. I'm performing in Germany in 2022 in September, like around September I'll be in Europe, maybe doing a little tour with my band.
All my Euro heads.
All my Euro heads.
Out there.
Gertie Birdie's
Euro heads. Well, go and see them.
Yeah. And everything, I put everything online. So
just, we love the internet.
Yeah. Just look it up online.
Great. Wow. What another stunning episode of my absolutely perfect podcast. It's amazing to be so good at
as
something.
You look out
and
the
to,
window.
Yeah. It's amazing to be so good at something and to share it so freely with the world. You know, give me 5 stars, subscribe, tell your friends to subscribe, leave me a nice review. As I always say, I don't like mean reviews, only nice ones. And, you know, thank you so much for listening this week. And as we say on Senior Superlatives, stay cool, never change. Until next time, ta-ta.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.